would almost apologize for getting excited about the Holy Ghost. But if I was to apologize, I wouldn't be doing my job. The Holy Ghost should be the most exciting thing in your life. It should be the most exciting event. Everything that you do in your week leads to this moment where we step in and worship as a church body and a church family. The one who gives me the opportunity to praise. The one that gives me the energy to worship. The one that provided for me in my trials. The one that supplied for me in my... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why can I worship him? Because he blessed me yesterday. Why can I worship him? Because he's going to bless me tomorrow. He's going to provide for me when nothing else can. When I can't do it by myself, that's when he steps in. Hallelujah. 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 If you're not careful, God might just change your life. If you're not careful, you might walk out of this building changed. If you're not careful, God might remove that pillar that he's placed in your life that you can't seem to make your way around. But God will never do anything for you unless you're first willing to say, I need your help, Father. I need your help, God. I need you to step in right now, God. I'm tired of this battle by myself, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for all that you do. I don't think... Sometimes there's a lot of people that aren't musically inclined in this room, and we're just like, oh man, that was great. I don't think you understand how good that band is. The things that they're doing, the kicks, the rolls, the licks, the da 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 da, that's happening all behind the vocals. Good job, worship team. Good job, worship team. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a little hot. It's a little warm in here, and I'm a little out of shape. A little bit. Pastor is out of town traveling this week. He's preaching at Brother McFarland's, the former missionary to Israel. He's down in Huntington preaching. He will be continuing to join us. He just gets the opportunity to preach out and asks me to step in his stand. And I'll take that as a slight. I think it's an awesome opportunity anytime I get to come and preach before you, whether it be at first service, Wednesday night, or second service. I consider it to be an honor to be able to preach to you. I'm going to try and be very quick. And everyone goes, oh no. Because anytime the preacher says he's going to be very quick, pack a lunch. But opening our scripture to Exodus 16. Last night our power went out. Our house is already hot. Well, about 2:24 this morning, our power went out. I sleep with a CPAP, so I slept with a CPAP the whole night. I've already had a bloody nose this morning since being here in church. You know, I'm exhausted because I didn't get my good sleep, and I just kind of have to keep on laughing. God, you're in control. You know what it is. I was already tossing and turning about what I was going to preach today. Then he just gave me a legitimate reason. I'm in a hot house with no air and no CPAP, but the Lord's able to move. Exodus 2, or 16, verse 2, I'm sorry, says, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat the bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray, Lord, that you continue to be a blessing. God, that what you've begun to do in here, Lord, that you prick at our hearts, God, and allow us to find a place of hunger, God, that we cannot be comforted enough with your spirit, God. Lord, but we want to be consumed by your fire. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're seated, I want to say it's very good to see Mary Ann Barnett. She must have known that I was preaching. She came all the way here. You know, sometimes you just need friends like that. So we're very thankful that Mary Ann is here. We love you. We miss you. When your husband gets out of the military, you can come back home. That's okay. We'll just let you know. Her husband is in the Navy. He was in the Mediterranean on the Gerald Ford, I believe. So is he still there? He's home. Thank the Lord for being home. But with the October 7th stuff, he got sent out. And we're thankful for all the service that he does for our country in defending us. We thank him for that. Can we just give a hand clap? Amen. Where we pick up in Exodus 16, you see these Israelites, the people who God had rescued from slavery, saved from a charging army by the parting of the Red Seas and protected them at every single turn. Yet here they are questioning, God, have you forgotten about us? We're getting ready to starve. We're dying of thirst. They so quickly forget all the things that God has done for them. Maybe it has to be some kind of issue where they suffer from some kind of Jewish faulty memory curse, where they can't remember the things that God has done for them in the past. They're a right now people. It's so much to the point that God is forever making them stop and build an altar and give that altar a name. And do you know why he was doing that? It's so they will remember what he did for them in that situation. These Israelites in chapter 15, they're grumbling because they're thirsty. So God calls upon, or Moses calls upon God like God didn't know what was already going on. And God goes and provides him with goodness and mercy and supplies them with water. And these people, how could they ever doubt God after all of the miracles that God had performed for them? I mean, every single day they walk by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Just a few short days or weeks ago, they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, water on either side. I love the story and the idea of the parting of the Red Seas. Imagining being an adult holding your child's hand, walking across the Red Sea. And I picture it this way in Isaac's little memory bank or idea bank that you're walking by and you can look in and it's like looking into the walls of an aquarium. And you can see is that a grouper that just swam by? Oh my God, look at this. Holy geez, look at the size of that bass. How many people ever walk through an aquarium and go, man, if I had my fishing pole, whew, you really get one. And here they are. They just experienced this miracle. Then they experienced the 10 plagues of Egypt. Every single plague, a representation of God's authority against a god of Egypt. And every single one, God shows himself to reign superior, to show himself to be the most high, ultimate God. There is none other than him. He is the highest of the highs. Yet here they are doubting God. Here they are worrying and grumbling, and we all understand if you've ever worked at a job or been with people, when the grumbling and the murmuring starts, it may only be a murmur, Sister Faulkner, but that murmur turns into a choir pretty quickly because they begin to go look for someone else that's miserable. Can you imagine it started with two people? And now they've got 30 people, and that Moses is an idiot. That Moses, can you believe what that Moses did? And Aaron, he's no better. What is he doing, holding a staff? I mean, come on. Be yourself, be your own man. We see it in our work. Oh, that boss is an idiot. Thank God we're not like the Israelites. Thank God that we didn't have miracles performed in our life. Thank God that we haven't had our children be healed of sickness or bills show up that we didn't know how to pay, yet there shows up to be an insurance refund or a check in the mail that provides for us. Or maybe it's in the form of a promotion that we weren't expecting that comes with a pay raise. And, you know, good thing that we've never experienced miracles like the Israelites had. And, you know, we never shake our fist at God when things start to go wrong. We like to think to ourselves, well, if I was an Israelite, Sister Ruby, if I walked through on dry ground, I would never forget what God did for me. Because that's a miracle. I mean, I walked through on dry ground. It wasn't even muddy. I just kicked the dust off. I walked by a cloud by day in the middle of the desert. My bald spot, Brother Marcus, our bald spots aren't even going to get burnt. We don't have to worry about that. Glory to God. I don't even have to worry about it. At nighttime, I don't need torches because I've got a pillar of fire that leads and lights the sky. I would never doubt God because he's showing me these miracle moments. How many people have got a check in the mail that you weren't expecting? How many people have had sickness leave your body or a friend's body and they can't explain it? How many people have gotten promotions that you didn't deserve? How many people have had miracles in your life? Time and time again, whether they be small miracles or they be giant miracles. And just like the Israelites, when the world begins to crush against us and things begin to fall apart against us, it is our human nature to go, God, where are you? God, have you forsaken me? It's okay. This is what's called conviction. It's that heaviness that you're feeling in the room. We've all done it. Every single person underneath the sound of my voice, if you've lived for God long enough, you've questioned God in why he hasn't showed up in the instant that you think he needs to show up. See, we struggle with a right now society. We struggle with the situation of I need this blessing now. I need this miracle now. We don't like going through the fire. We don't like going through the struggles. I want the automatic miracle. And more importantly, I want my miracle. But the truth of the matter is, God's miracle is so much greater than what our miracle is. God's miracle is so much more wonderful than what we think should possibly happen. See, the Israelites, they just wanted some food and water right then, but what God had in store for them is manna falling from heaven every single day for the next 40 years. They weren't thinking about 40 years from now. They were thinking about right now and right in this instant. How many people know the term hangry? Hey, will you wake up. You can raise your hand. It's all right. We're okay. Crowd participation. He's preaching short, but the more you preach with him, the shorter we go. All right, here we go. Glory, hallelujah, revival. There it is. More hands raised than what it was during worship service. Thank you, Jesus. How many people know what hangry is? We know what hangry is. How many people have ever experienced hangry? See, hangry is something. I have three daughters, a wife, and a son. I know what hangry is. And when you have a family that's as large as my family is, there is a danger that happens. It's okay to deal with one person that's hangry. But when you get more than two or three of them together, I have a very bad problem of we go to Disney World. I'm paying $1 bazillion to be at Disney World. We got to see it all. I mean, you realize how much I paid to be here? Let's go. Let's go. We got to go. Next ride. Next show. Next. Come on. Mickey's over here. Let's go. Hurry up. Get over here. But I'm thinking about the next thing. My kids are, it's hot. I'm hungry. My blood sugar's low. You're 9. Your blood sugar's fine. And I have learned, and I do not have it perfected, but I have learned that sometimes to make my family happy, a dilly bar goes a long way. That if I could just get a Mickey-eared pretzel into one of them, the complaining would stop. See, you're not you when you're hungry. Snickers, a few years ago, actually it's 14 years ago to be exact, started one of the most brilliant marketing campaigns that you have ever possibly seen. And it says, you're not you when you're hungry. And Sister Selena she's a baby. She's only 21 years old. I ask her, do you know what this is? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. I was like, you know what TV is? She's an internet child. So I want to show you these a few things. Hey, Brother Aaron.
Fourth down, coach. What do we do?
I'll tell you what we do.
I want you to go on the field. Look for anyone with an O.
Let's kill them.
With kindness. Jimmy. I want you to make balloon animals. Tyler, make little tea cozy, something fun.
Are you okay?
We will win this for Mother Russia!
Coach, eat a Snickers.
Why is that, Chief?
You get a little loopy when you're hungry. Better.
Better.
Now let's go work!
Yeah! Go get them, guys.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers.
I got one more.
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
I'm up it!
That hurt.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers said.
Do you guys remember what I'm talking about now? You're not you when you're hungry. The spiritual context of that, when you're spiritually hungry, you're not the person that God intends you to be. See, the Israelites, they were physically hungry, but they are also spiritually hungry because they didn't possess what we possess, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost that fills up their soul and their mind. They weren't able to reach in and tap that, so it was a completely physical-driven situation where they were complaining about it. But there are too many times that people walk around spiritually hungry, and when you walk around spiritually hungry, you make choices that are ungodly choices. Because you're hangry. You're not the person that God desires you to be. You're not doing the things that God desires you to do. You're going to places, you're talking about things, you're watching things, you're participating in things. You're spiritually lacking what needs to be. And the scary part is every single time we come to church, you come to an all-you-can-eat buffet, yet you choose to leave hungry. Some of us here now have stopped listening to me 5 minutes ago because all you can think about is that double butter burger at Culver's. And it's that time. Or maybe you got that roast in the crock pot and you're going to devour it with some butter and some A1 sauce. Give me glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe what it is, you've got off. But just like our physical sense, we can go 30, 40 days without eating, but we can only go 3 days without drinking water, and then we can dehydrate and die. There are too many people in churches today, underneath the sound of my voice and outside of these walls, that has went years without being spiritually fed. They've went so long that they don't know what it is to taste the goodness of Jesus Christ anymore. They don't remember what it feels like when it sweeps over them and begins to permeate through like a fire shut up in my bones. You cannot come into church hungry and leave hungry, because there could be a moment in your life when you get into a wilderness and there is no opportunity to eat as a church body. There is no opportunity to feel the presence of God the way we felt it in our worship service. And it is going to come straight to you and God. I'm going to teach to our students. I'm going to teach to our youth. You just, a bunch of you were at camp. Hear me. I know you're tired. I know you didn't sleep well. I know you had to shower with 37 other people. I know all of those things. Been there, done it. I'll do it in a couple weeks. But listen, You cannot live church camp to Holy Ghost rally to HYC to Holy Ghost rally to camp. You cannot partake of the Holy Ghost only when a service is built and directed and completely built for you, where it's all consuming. You have to come to church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning when you're tired and you haven't slept very well. And guess what? Maybe you really don't want to be here, but still you show up and God steps into the room. You got to tell yourself, hey, I've got to eat because I don't know when my next meal is. I've got to eat because I don't know the next time I'm going to get a chance to lap. I'm going to teach to you adults now. You adults, we got a lot of students. You got kids here at church. You got young kids, old kids, different kind of kids. Guess what? Your kids eat differently than you do. I'm definitely going to stay on this one for a second. You can go longer with less because you've built more life. Let me preface this. Just because you can go longer with less doesn't make it right. David said, I die daily. That's what should be your mindset, is every single day purifying your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. Every single day finding a place of prayer. Brother Mike talked about it on the first service. Prayer should be the most important thing in your life. It should be something that is consumed by. See, you can live a certain way, but if you live with just a little bit, and you're not letting your kids be filled up till they're overflowing, guess what? They'll never know what it is to be overflowing with the joy and the power of the Holy Ghost. For when they get to the point of being an adult and they begin to have to make adult decisions, they don't have the reservoir of the Holy Ghost like you do. They don't have that falling back on, God, help me out because you supply for it. Because you've taught them that living on a little is enough. Students, living on a little bit of Holy Ghost is not acceptable into getting into the gates of glory. You have no guarantee when you're gonna run out and be completely empty. It could be in a moment of frustration. It could be in a situation where your boss steps in your office and begins to berate you and begins to tear you apart. And because you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you respond with all of your humanity, which is the wrong way to respond. And therefore, every good thing you built into that work, every good thing you built into that job is automatically destroyed in an instant because you didn't allow your Holy Ghost. Boy, Brother Isaac, you're preaching the truth. I know. Air high five, Brother Steve. Woo! We don't like to hear it. We don't like to. Oh. You mean worship's a young man's game. My knees, I can't jump like Brother Aaron jumped. My knees are too bad. Well, have you forgot what it is to taste the goodness of God? Have you forgot what it tastes like when you experience that mercy and grace for the first time? Some of you were some sinners far from Jesus, but you made your way down to an altar and you began to taste the goodness of God, and the joy began to overflow inside of you, and you couldn't keep it up because words were not sufficient to begin to glorify Him for all the things that He's done. And it comes in an outward expression of praise. Why? Because He's feeding my soul. He's feeding my mind. He's blessing me. But brother Isaac, blah, blah, blah. You don't understand. I'm mature in the Holy Ghost. If you were mature in the Holy Ghost, you couldn't keep the Holy Ghost shut up the way you're keeping it shut up. If you were mature in the Holy Ghost, You couldn't make it through a worship service with your hands in your pocket or your arms crossed. You couldn't make it through a worship service without your body beginning to move and beginning to know. Why? Because it's a joy. It feels like a fire shut up in my bones. And I'm closing. I told you it'd be short. I told you it'd be short. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sister Robin didn't raise her hand at that. She was just raising her hands in glory. They followed up this campaign, You're not you when you're hungry, with a simple phrase: hungry? Why wait? It was a promotion in their snack size candies. You know, not their big ones, just their snack size. Just something, Brother Yenna, just to level out that sugar, just a little bit. A little sweet tooth, not too much. You know, if I eat seven of them, it's like almost eating the whole one, so I'll eat six, so I didn't eat one. Let me ask you this. In the spiritual context, if you're hungry for the Holy Ghost, why are you waiting for a response? Well, I don't know, Brother Isaac. They sang songs that were just not my style. Nope, these songs are too wordy. Nope, I know the old songs were six verses, three bridges, and a chorus, but these songs are too wordy. Went over like a lead balloon. Oh, no. First of all, if Pastor Johnson was here, I'd shout for Pastor Johnson. This is just Brother Isaac. No, let's get in the flesh. I'm really tired. I promise you, no one here had a worse night's sleep than what my wife did, sleeping on the couch with two of our children and me sweating on the couch on the other side where there's no heat and air conditioning. No one can say they're as tired except for Brother Derek, who worked all last night. Don't want to lose you. My energy should not dictate my praise. The only thing that dictates my praise is my desire. So how much do you desire to be in the presence of God? Because you can walk into church and not desire a change. You can walk into church and be okay with walking out the same way. Or you can say, I've got a fire and it's shut up in my bones. It may not be raging inferno like it once was, but there's still some embers there. And just let me begin to breathe the power of the Holy Ghost on it. And it can become all-consuming, all-encompassing, taking out everything that was. Now we come to a point. We have come to a point where we change from an audience to participants. Now, you can walk out of this building the exact same way you walked in. Or you can walk out full of the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's been 6 months. Maybe it's only been 6 hours. Maybe you've never spoken tongues in your life. But let me tell you, the God who reigns is here today, and he's ready to step in and to begin to fill you with the Holy Ghost. So all you've got to be willing to do is say, God, I'm hungry, and I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm hungry. I've got to come to the table. I know the buffet's set. I know your anointing's here, but I'm ready to eat, God. I'm ready to eat, God. Come, fill me with your word, God. Fill me with your anointing, God. Overcome me. Overcome my mind. Overcome my sense, God. Lord, let me be consumed by you in every situation, in every moment. Hallelujah. I believe God's beginning to break down some walls right now because we stepped out in faith and said, God, I need you to fill me till I overflow, not just a little bit, but I want to be consumed with your anointing. I want it to spill out on those around me. I want it to spill out on those next to me. Hallelujah. For those that are in your pews, I'm going to ask you to make your way out of your pew. I'm going to make you step up into the front and let's pray together as a church.